Divers Sink is a weekly netcast where we talk about the world of scuba diving, fantastic diving opportunities, and some of the happenings in the underwater world. We also provide tips and discussions about scuba diving and get excited about upcoming dives and adventures. Learn how you can join us on our dives and become part of the program by following Divers Sink on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, or by visiting our website at www.diversink.com. Hello and welcome to Divers Sink, the netcast and podcast for scuba divers. My name is Rich Sinowick, and you're listening to episode 511, take two. So where's take one, you ask? Well, as this whole thing with technology happens, I made a mistake. And I didn't actually record the video and only recorded the audio of this entire show. So I've run through it once and now I will run it through it again. In this episode, I'm going to bring you on a trip to the B-29 bomber in Lake Mead, Nevada, that we did in 2021. And I got video for you guys that are listening to this on YouTube. You get to see the video. For you guys that are just listening to this on somewhere else, on the website or on podcast, you need to sign up and subscribe to the YouTube channel. And the YouTube channel will get you me in video. A little bit choppy, kind of like the Max Headroom thing, but I think I like the whole vibe of going back to way back. So Max Headroom is something in the 1900s you guys might not know. Also, in this episode, we're going to talk about diving in Lake Superior and setting up an ice diving photo shoot and setting up ice diving stuff for people and bringing in people from outside the country and having a good time with it. So I'm also going to talk about a little bit about the equipment I use because people in the past have talked about what that is. I'm going to talk about diving with my kids. They're now getting to be young adults. They're almost 18. And so it's not there. And a little bit of my time-lapse photography, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that. So let's get into this a little bit. I appreciate you guys all listening. I appreciate you getting all the way this far, and I appreciate you actually watching the whole video because I am trying to get my numbers up to see if I can get some extra features to make this better than it is. So, but let's talk about why I'm going to talk about the B-29 bomber. It happened back in 2021. Sorry. Back in 2021, in May of 2021, we ended up going out to Lake Mead in Nevada. And Lake Mead, it is one of the cool places in the country to go and dive. It is by far one of the more odd places to get to. It's in the middle of a desert. Desert itself is in one of the is part of a national recreation area. It's got it's a park. It's got protections. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a whole lot of water anymore. So the idea of being able to go dive there has come up a lot of times. So back in the 1900s, a guy named Joel Silverstein and his team found the final resting place of a crashed B-29 bomber that crashed in 1945 in Lake Mead. And it's in one of the basins there, and it was in 270 plus feet of water when they found it. Super dark, super eerie, but it was spectacular because there were no zebra mussels back then in that lake. Fast forward to today, or fast forward to when we did it, and not today, and well, today we'll talk about that too, because it's even a crying shame. But fast forward to our trip in May. It was our second or third trip there. I think it's my second trip. But we've tried a couple of times, and every once in a while the park district doesn't give a permit, so then that gets scrapped. Or like in the case of this year, the water is down. So when I first went there, it was pretty spectacular in the fact that I didn't know I loved deserts. I don't want to live in a desert. It's like snow. I really want to visit snow someday. I don't necessarily need it anymore. Deserts are someplace I like the idea of them. I like the deserts. I like the warm and dry in the summertime. Or I like the cold evenings. But I like the idea of a desert and a desert oasis and having this Lake Mead as a desert oasis. So when we first went out there, we had to drive an hour and a half into the park to get to the boat launch, which was at a place called Echo Bay. And you can look up Echo Bay on Google Maps and you can see where it's at. When we drove up, it looked like it was a resort at one time. It was beautiful. It had a hotel with palm trees, parking lot, a gas station, a convenience store, but all of it was closed down. And it had a marina. Well, here's the thing. The marina was probably a 200 boat marina on floating docks. And the floating docks were sitting about 100 feet from the shoreline. They were up on the thing shoreline. And so I took a bunch of pictures of that, thought that was really cool. But the next trip, this one that we just did, that all the marina stuff was gone. So they're not coming back. They basically said, screw it. The one store was open, the convenience store, but that was it. But we went down to the end of the boat ramp, and they kept adding to this boat ramp. And then they moved another extra ramp down to the boat ramp to get it closer to the water. We were supposed to go back this year, but unfortunately that is scrapped because the water level even went down below what it was there. When we were there, the water level was barely able to get the boat out of the harbor after the boat ramp went in, and it was 8 miles from the wreck site. 8 miles is not a bad run when you can do about 15 miles an hour. But there was no way to get to it now because the closest launch site is 27 miles from the wreck site. So unless the water comes back up, this will be the last trip we get to do on Lake Mead, unless we want to go and do a 2-day live aboard on a pontoon boat, which I don't know how we can make that happen. But I mean, with Joel, he's pretty resilient. He'll figure something out. But I want to share with you, because this last time we ended up in 2021, it was a postponement from 2020. We were supposed to go during COVID, and we had people that dropped off and people that came back, and then people that dropped off again and people that came back. Well, my wife and I, we had it set up for 2 trips, and she was going to come on the weekend. And then the following week, she was going to fly home and I was going to do the second group. So we'd have 2 days, 4 days of one group and 4 days with another group. And then I would drive home. For added bonus, because this wasn't, I just remembered this. I didn't want to fly. I get tired of people making excuses for really bad service. COVID was a big deal. At the time, it was a big deal for us. In 2021, it was a big deal for us. But I kind of was looking at the best way to go ahead and do it. And so what ended up happening was a lot of my clients were coming from all over the country, and they needed me to bring their tanks, and they needed me to figure all that out for them. And I was going to help. I was going to rent them all from Joel. And then I started looking at what the costs would be on that. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to load my truck up, and me and my dog Rex, we're going to go. And we're going to go to Nevada and we're going to hang out for a little bit. And so I had decided that I was going to leave an extra day. I've had a good staff at the time. Everything was great. I have a great staff now, but I had a good staff at the time. A lot of them left, came back. So me and my dog Rex decided we were going to go do this. And I like my dog. And I think that the more expensive stuff that I do now, where I'm going to charge more, is if I can't take my dog. But I was just going to do a cross country. Let's go see. Let's go put 2,600 miles on our truck. Okay. Well, my youngsters were still at home. They were it was May of 21. They were still doing homeschool, virtual learning. Everything was meet with an instructor for an hour in the morning, show that you're there, do all the homework that they assign you, and do it the next day. So they were able to figure out how they were going to be able to do it driving. So my kids go, Dad, can we come with you? Sure, why not? I don't see a reason, as long as it's not going to change it. So we ended up driving all the way out there, and we were planning on driving out there. And then at the last minute, my wife was like, I got enough comp time. I'm going to go with you, and I'll work from remotely. And so she was able to do all the dives with me. She was able to do the drive, and we did a drive out there. That was 28 hours, 29 hours, and then we drive through the Rockies. All that was spectacular. If you have not seen the United States by car, I'm going to highly recommend it. Iowa's boring as hell. But once you get past Iowa, start seeing the Rockies, and you start getting into where it is. The Rocky Mountains are spectacular. Utah is spectacular. So there's 2 routes across the United States. So we took the upper route on the way out there and the lower route on the way back. And on the way back, it'll be another podcast episode, because I got to see if I got any video, but I know I have slides for it. On the way back, we went to Santa Rosa Blue Hole at Joel's suggestion, and we took the lower way back. So we got to see a ton of stuff. The Grand Canyon. We got to see a bunch of things. That's a different story. We're going to talk about that another time. But when we got out to Lake Mead and we got the first group in the water, I'm going to tell you, I was blown away at the visibility. Let me share it with you. We're gonna share the screen. I don't know how this is gonna work out as far as if you're on the live performance right now, if you're actually watching me live. I don't know how these things are gonna work out. It didn't really work in my test, but I can always edit it afterwards. So if you're watching it on YouTube, if it isn't coming out right, or you don't think it's working right, or it didn't line up right with my voice, then do me a favor and put it in the comments or send me a private message and let me know what I can do to do it differently. So let's go ahead and show you the B-29 bomber in Lake Mead. When this thing crashed, it went in and everybody lived. It went in because it thought it was higher. The altitude was thrown off. And when I first dove it, that tail section was up, but it had recently fallen down. That was something new. But there's zebra mussels on it, so it does tend to weigh it down. The park district does not let us swim over the wreck. They don't want it to, the silt is horrible in the area. It is not anybody that dives it, so you can't really be that perfect with your buoyancy control, because the bottom is in a weird, random kind of a way. But the we were able to get, once we could get really good buoyancy control, we were able to get some really good still pictures of things. We had to be so very careful around it that me and my wife ended up getting 4 dives on it. And so we understood a little bit more about the whole area, and it was enough. It's 100 feet long and 100 feet wide, roughly. And it's a huge site. And so what you get is you get, I'm gonna play it again so you guys can see it, but you get a huge scale of how big these bombers were, because this is a super fortress, right? B-29 bomber super fortress. And it's really, you can look through the windows. It has been polished off a little bit. I think the National Park Service does that. They do come out there and they do allow some preservation on it. They've mapped the entire site. There's some really cool stuff to see. But it's all artifact. Now, there's the part of the nose was ripped off, because that dome that you see in the top of it in this picture right here, that was part of a top secret global positioning system. That was a line of sight for the sun. No one knows really what happened with it and how that whole thing works. But they came and they took a front end loader and basically ripped it out and dropped it somewhere. The rumor has it that it's probably above water now from where they dropped it, but they don't allow anybody hiking in that area for the obvious reasons. So the site was spectacular. We had great visibility, unbelievable visibility. And one of the things that I learned on this one was that they had a strobe that they were testing from Big Blue Lights. And these are the Big Blue Light strobes that we carry. They're 1,000 watt lumen. If you're interested in knowing a little bit more about it, I'm going to do some product stuff. I'm trying to get my head around how this whole thing works. And so far I'm using a fixed camera because I'm used to Zoom. And I know there's other ways to do it. Technology and money and all that kind of stuff thrown at the problem can figure it out. A production crew would actually make it really good. But we're going to see. I want to get my readership or my listenership up over 1,000 again, which is where it was when I quit. So, we've got over 60 hours watched so far on YouTube, which thank you guys for listening and sticking with this. But the strobe is spectacular. So they have an anchor far off the wreck, and it's probably 100 foot off the wreck, and then a line that goes to another anchor that's about 30 feet off the wreck. And they put a strobe on that and a strobe on that, and you could see both strobes. It was just spectacular. So we came back and bought a bunch, and we carry them regularly in the dive shop now. Brightest strobe I've ever owned. But the trip, we had 2 dives on one day. The trip went like this. We drove in with the family, picked up everybody from the airport on Friday when we got there. We had me and my wife and 2 clients. It's limited to 4 on the boat. Everything's guided. So we actually had a guide that went in the water with us. So the first day we did 2 dives on the wreck. The second day we did 2 dives on the wreck, and no one got bored. And then the next, we drove everybody back the next day, picked up everybody on the next group. And then because my wife was staying there, she actually got to be, we had some cancellations. And so she got the last spot on the weekday one as well. So my kids, they stayed in the room, took care of Rex, stayed in the room and played in the pool, worked on schoolwork and did everything they would do here at home. on the road. So it worked out really, really well. So the but the trip itself was we spent the day in between before I had to pick up everybody from the airport. We went to the Hoover Dam. Everything was closed because of COVID, but we could still walk around the property, and that was still worth the trip. And we went and drove through the park, took my kids into the park because I wanted them to see it as well. Once we left the clients, put them in the airport, we stayed overnight in the hotel, got up the next morning, we drove to Grand Canyon, and that'll be a different story. And then from the Grand Canyon, we drove to the Santa Rosa Blue Hole, which will be another story. So that's kind of a story that when I was doing that video and I put that video together, I didn't have a voiceover for it. And I went to look for the voiceover because that's kind of my new hobby, is putting video together and trying to find the voiceover that I originally talked to on the podcast. And well, that would have been my new hobby, but my new hobby is now trying to get Spotify to fix our website because we want to move from one platform to another, and it's not always working. So if you're listening to this right now on Spotify, we got it working. If you're listening to this on any other medium, we got it working. But right now, the only medium we have is YouTube. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube, and then we'll talk about it. I'm going to put it on Facebook as well, but we'll talk about it also on Instagram and also in Zoom. So, TikTok. So I don't get it. With the technology that's out there, I'm trying to get you guys to have better avenues to get it. I don't know what's going on with Spotify. They basically gave me the excuse that we've never had a podcast this big want to transcribe or transmit. The one that I'm using now to host all of it and where you can download it all from the website right now, they're reaching capacity. They were reaching capacity when I had quit. So we're stepping through it, and I appreciate the people that are helping me with that. So let's keep going and let's talk a little bit about this weekend. Okay, so what we did this past weekend was I had my annual ice diving trip to Munising, Michigan. And people don't understand what it's all about traveling to Munising. The reason that I started doing this, it was 6 years ago. I had a public safety dive team that I was teaching. And the public safety dive team had one guy left that had not gotten ice diver. And he was trained 2 years ago. Promised it the next year. We had a year like this where there was no ice, then promised it the next year, and we still had not gotten any ice. And the team commander called me up and says, hey, is there any place in the United States that you can guarantee ice? I said, let me pick up the phone. And I called a buddy of mine living in Munising and said, what's the ice pack out there? And he says, it's 16 inches. And I said, okay, we're going to come up in 2 weeks and come up in a weekend. And we ended up doing a last minute ditch thing where we went up, and with this public safety team and the four guys that I took with me, we went up there and we did an ice diver training privately for this one guy. Everybody got to ice dive, and it was really cool. Lots of things that I didn't realize about 16 inches of ice, 18 inches of bar with 16 inches of ice, just barely making it. So I was looking for other options and changed it. So the next year, I invited another dive shop to come join us. And then my friend Steven came to learn how to be a diver, or he was already an instructor, but he wanted to see how the whole process was going to work so he could sell it to his customers out of Utila, which I thought was spectacular. So we had a great time then. And then, so it became an annual thing. And now we are on year six. This year we had people from all over the country and all over the world coming to join us. And all over the country, we had people from Texas, all over the world. We had a couple of guys, Steven from Utila, and then his working partner, Nick. Now, Nick is an interesting character. He's got a Dive Saga YouTube channel. He's got a actual YouTube channel. It's not a podcast like this. He actually does production and all that. And so I'm learning a lot of stuff that he does. And I would suggest, I'm going to give him a shout out. Go follow him on Dive Saga. It's D-I-V-E. S-A-G-A. And he does these really production level videos that are about 10 to 20 minutes long. He's going to have one on this whole podcast, or not on this whole ice diving thing, on his coming up in a few months. He's working on some things with sponges. He's working on some things with sharks. He's working on some deep diving stuff. It is really a good program, and it's worth watching. But I'm learning a lot from him. Well, he was up here because he had never ice dived. And he is one of the top course directors in the country, or in the world. And he's one of our better North American course directors for Patty. He works with Steven. They together run a Platinum CDC and Utila. And we're going to go visit them in a couple weeks. So I'm looking forward to having another podcast like that afterwards. But as fate has it, he was coming because he's also an ambassador diver for Scuba Pro. And Steven's also wants to be an ambassador diver for Waterproof. I'm not sure how that whole thing works. I'm too old. They don't want me. They want younger people. So, and then I'm too set in my ways. One of the comments is that I'm not my customer. So I have gear that I don't want to use, because it doesn't hold up to my abuse, but it's great stuff. So, one of the things that we were doing on this, though, is we were doing a photo shoot, and he was coming up to get a photo shoot with his Scuba Pro gear in snow. Okay. And so we had to find snow. Problem is, when he showed up, it was 50 degrees out and there was no snow. We had not had snow for 3 weeks. And, we had set up an extra day in the hopes of being able to do something different, which we'll maybe hopefully do next year. But we had an extra day just for them to do the photography stuff and that. And so, we were going to go up. We're going to try to do a half day of photography in the UP and then do another half day of photography before my clients got up there and worked our way through that. So there was no snow. So Tuesday, they showed up on Monday. There's no snow. Tuesday, there's no snow. Wednesday, there's no snow. And we were going to go dive on Wednesday locally if there was ice. So we ended up doing, it worked out that we ended up doing some stuff together to get all the gear together and get everything working and getting tanks and all that kind of stuff. We did that on Tuesday and Wednesday. And on Thursday morning, we drove up early. And we drove up, it was supposed to be a blizzard. It just rained. And so we drove up in rain until we got to about the 45th parallel, and then the snow started coming. And so then it was snowy, foggy, and yucky the whole way up. When we got to the bridge, you couldn't even see the bridge. You see half of it. He got some really cool video. He was trying playing with a 360 camera, make it look like a drone flying around behind the camera. That he took us at outside the bridge. That was kind of neat. And then when we crossed over, the visibility of the sun was not cooperating, and he was very discouraged. I told him, don't worry about it. You're going to take thousands of pictures. And he said, okay. Well, we ended up taking 4,000 pictures on Friday. Some of it was staged in a way that he wants real life stuff. So we ended up finding places to go diving. And so it wasn't really able to cut a hole on that day. We had to wait till the day we had students, but we did find a place with open water and we got some pictures. I'm going to share some of the pictures with you from the weekend. Hopefully we'll see if this one works out. But this is kind of what I really was excited about being able to do this video podcast for, is that I can now show you the pictures. This is actually a little bit out of order. This is a picture of what the actual ice hole on Saturday looked like. It was beautiful, sunny out. We during the trip, I had both students and other divers that came up because they wanted to go ice diving. And there were three instructors and two dive masters that were in the water. And so there were people that were already certified along with people that were getting certified. And it just worked out to be very, very smooth because we always had the right ratio of people in the water just for safety's sake. And we always had extra gear ready for people to jump in if we needed to. The key to ice diving, though, is to make sure that you don't come off that line. And I'll talk a little bit about that when I get to my daughter's thing. But these guys were not prepared for how cold it was out there. And so we ended up setting up. We found an open water site just outside of, it was from a factory. They do paper mill up there. So they use the mill's extra stuff. They turn it into paper. And there's a little bit of a hot water exchange. So we're able to get out there and get some pretty neat pictures next to this dock. And they could get in the water and go do some cool stuff. But we're able at this public boat launch area, which is all frozen in except for this one river access. And it was just really, really fun and really, really pretty. The snow kept pouring in. And so we were basically taking pictures like this in the snow. And then later down the road, the sun would come out and we'd get good pictures. I'm not showing all the pictures. I took over 3,000 at this site alone. Because we were just sitting there letting the camera go and see what we could get. Because the idea is some of it's going to be in focus, some of it's not going to be in focus, and some of the light's going to be good, some of the light's going to be bad. And I had other cameras going. Hopefully I can share some video with you of that. But we also went to another site where he could march out through the snow, so he was getting ready to go diving. People commented he's not on a hat. He wanted to make sure that the pictures are there. That's Nick, the other one was Steven. And this is the two of them together. We found another way to get into a river, which was nice open water access, and the pictures were spectacular. This is them just realizing how cold it was. Some of the negative pictures that I've got that I'm not going to use. But the... one of the things Nick wanted, he says, I want to march to the dive site through pine trees. And so we ended up getting these pictures that were just spectacular because the snow had just decided to come down hard. And pictures of icebergs and pictures of the lake and that were all available to us. Come back to my daughter. But the overall idea of putting together these pictures for them, I gave them a lot to go home with, and it's going to be days before they come up with everything, and we're both really happy with it. Another person that really wants to get pictures was my daughter Natalie, and she wants pictures for her Instagram page, Nat Loves Scuba. And so you can find her on Instagram at Nat Loves Scuba, and you can find Nick's on Instagram at Dive Saga, DiveSaga. And you can find that and be able to see some of his shorts and programs and some of the weird camera stuff that he was doing on this. So but my daughter wanted to get her picture taken. And so I actually was trying out a new camera system. And this new camera system was because during 2021, I flooded one. And I crushed one of my camera systems because I had taken it too deep and ended up having to buy a new one. And so because I was taking things too deep, I ended up not being able to use strobes anymore. I had to go with big blue lights, and they're good to 500 feet, so they're usually good. But the strobes are only good to 160, and found out by accident that my dome was only good to 180. So I really like how strobes look, and I like the look that you can get with that much light, especially in some of the darker areas that we're doing, and some of the brighter areas, actually, so we can get some color and background. And now that I'm shooting mostly manual, you can get some good stuff. So I had spent a good chunk of the winter figuring out how to get my strobes better before I did this podcast and started it up again. And now I'm doing both videos, so I have a huge camera system that I have to figure out. It's weighs too much, so I have to figure that out. But I wanted to show you guys some pictures that I took of the actual dive. Now, I only got one day of actual real diving in and one day of diving where I got in the water and had to get out real quick because I ripped a hole in my dry suit. Thank God everybody was done. And thank God we had extra people to help out to make sure everything was done the way. But I was able to get some really good pictures of my daughter, and the idea that she wants to do this and fill in my shoes. This is Natalie. She dives Poseidon regulators and Tusa mask, and she's got the coolest gloves on the planet. They're bright pink. They're heavy duty dish gloves. And if you have a set of old Viking cuffs, you can use these for your kids too. So if you haven't gone to the fancy clip-on cuffs, these are awesome because the gloves are cheap and they come in size super small, so they can fit it into it. She was having the time of her life getting into it, and I want to use this picture for an illustration of how we dive under the ice. Where we're going for this trip is it's more of a training site. It's not shipwrecks. It's not anything. We have a dock, and the dock is really picturesque. We set you a little bit closer to the dock than so you could actually get tangled up in it if you're not careful. But the idea is that there's structure down there to see. And if there's structure down there to see, everybody can get some really good pictures. Now, Natalie is diving a Poseidon Extreme. And if you didn't know they came in seriously cool colors, you probably should. I want to talk a little bit about that because it is by far the best regulator that I have ever known for ice diving. I sell a lot of Poseidons ice diving and cold water river diving. Because it does handle really well, but they're twitchy. They're a little bit different than most people get used to. They're not a regulator that people understand. And so if they're not adjusted right, you don't necessarily have a great time with them. Natalie loves hers. And so she is diving in with a Poseidon. And then if you notice that she also has a line attached to her. Now, all of ice diving, people go, well, geez, you have a solid thing over your thing. We are on a 100-foot line. Let's put that into perspective. If you pull it in at 60 feet per minute, you're only a minute 30 from the hole. Okay, so you're 100 seconds from the hole. If a free flow were to happen, you just put four tugs on that, and they pull you back in. And we're not diving deep because the regulators don't function under the ice at all. They really don't function deep. And so what we want to do is we want to make sure people are always going to be safe. So that rope is 7/8 inch thick. It is in a lasso that's spliced, wrapped around her. And then there's a carabiner clipped to her BCD as the harness. And so she has three connection points, her hand, the carabiner, and the lasso, she's not going to get attached. Now, what I'm doing is I'm running on a runner. That's how I do it because I want people to be autonomous. I want them to learn. She wasn't taking a class. She's just diving, but I'm on a runner most of the time with students, so I can run up and down, and they can use their tender the way they should without me using that as a crutch. It is a spectacular way to teach this class. It is by far one of the most effective because people come out of it knowing that they can confidently ice dive, so much so that they enjoy themselves and come back and take the trip. We had people that repeating the trip 3 and 4 times now. So Natalie got a really good shot here. We've got a few more of her taking posing in that. The camera system of mine didn't work as well as I want to, but it was mostly because of the fact that I was new to it and it was way heavy. She had had problems and issues with her camera, so she took my extra float and my paralens off, and she was taking pictures with that, and so it was still way heavy. I'll figure it all out, and I'm sure you'll hear about it on this podcast. But when we were diving, I was also working with time-lapse photography. And so we're going to come back here and talk about that in just a second. The time-lapse photography that we've got going on, because I have to take care of people and because I am basically in charge of everybody's safety and I have to do some diving and I have to do a bunch of things, we get a staff of people that can help out, and a lot of people are really good about helping. That's the only thing that I ask when people come and they take this course, is I want them to make sure that they help, that that's part of what they do. They got to know that they're helping. And what we do is, because of that, I can't really take pictures on the surface. I can take pictures underwater because I can be part of the mission, but I can't really take pictures on the surface, and not necessarily if I have a trouble student, I'm using leaving my camera back. I'm not going to be able to take pictures with them. You're allowed to dive with a camera around me. I don't care. And because I teach you enough and I've got it set up and I've got a system enough that I don't have to worry about you. But everybody has rules and protocols that we have. And one of those things is I wanted to get some video to share here, but I didn't really have a way to do that. I don't have the funds yet to hire a photographer to come with me, someone that will actually take the pictures and the video and that sort of thing. Hopefully someday I do, but that's all. I'm putting everything that I can back into this podcast, and it's a big chunk of my advertising budget at Divers Incorporated now with what I'm doing here. So what I did, though, is I set up stationary cameras, and some of it worked, some of it didn't, some of it bumped, some of it didn't, and I was able to put speed it all up 3,000 times. Well over 2,000 times, and it was able to put 4 or 5 hours of video into a few seconds. So I'm going to share that with you so that you can see that, and hopefully it comes out. I've got to hit share so I don't screw this up like I did before. Share it, and then we play it. And this is what it looks like condensing a couple hours down into about 20 seconds. And there's two different camera shots, two different camera angles, a bunch of different things cut in here to make different people seem what it is. And we had more people during the day do this, and different times a day. You can see the two holes, and they're close enough. The wide angle doesn't show up, but they're close enough that safety divers from both holes can be there, because the chance of you having an issue, knock on wood, the chance of you having an issue is slim. The chance of you having an issue that required a safety diver, super duper slim. But we were not taking any chances, and that's kind of what we do with our safety. So it's really turned out okay. Processing power was the time it took to be able to do that, unbelievably long. And so I don't know that I'll do it again, but I need some way of being able to share video with you guys. So so time-lapse photography was something new. I did it two different ways. You can find it both on YouTube. There's a making of it on Patreon. Talk a little bit about what my goals were in this podcast originally. And forgive me if I repeat myself, because I'm doing this again because I screwed it up. And so my goal for this original podcast 10 years ago was that I would interview guys about your local dive site. So if you're doing some ice diving, tell me about it. If you're going to be doing some winter diving because it's warm out, tell me about it. If you're a dive shop owner and want to promote people coming to your dive site, okay, so there's some people out there that are running really nice quarries like me. They're running really nice inland lakes. They're running a really nice local diving program. don't be embarrassed because it's just a small lake. Okay. If it's something that you're trying to get people excited about, I want to get excited about it. If I'm traveling the country and I'm coming out by you, I don't mind coming and spending a day talking to you about it. Okay. If you want to interview, I've got a list of questions and you get the questions ahead of time. And we'll do it on a podcast. And another part of this podcast that I want to do, I kind of mentioned it, is that my daughter Natalie wants to take over my dive shop someday. Changes the way that I do things. So I want to make sure that she has a good understanding of what the business is. I want her to start with my advantages that I have now 30 years into it. 18 years into owning divers, 19 this year, owning Divers Incorporated as a dive shop owner, managing it for another 10 years ahead of that. But I want to give her the advantages that I didn't have. I want to fix things that are in the shop. But one of the things that I'm really looking for, and I hope that I can get some people that would respond or find out or get me some names, is I'm looking for those dive shop owners who are generational. I want someone who has a dive shop that their parents left them, their mom or dad, their grandfather, their uncles. And the questions that I want to ask is, what would you like to know? What would you wish you know? What do you want to tell people you know? What would you like your competitors to know? I want it to be open. I want it to be honest. And I want it to be something where we can make the entire way better, okay? The entire industry better. I'm learning a ton from this podcast. Nick has helped me a lot with the Dive Saga. He does a production level thing. That helps. Those guys have helped me out for course director stuff. Steven and I went through course director school together. There's a lot of things that are out there that we can do together to make this industry better, and this is one of those things that I want to do. So that's coming up. Another thing that I have, where I was going with the time-lapse photography stuff, is I've got Patreon. And Patreon is something that's new. It's something that I didn't have 10 years ago when I was trying to figure out how to get a budget for this podcast. The way I have set up our Patreon is to be just like the Dive Center. So each one of the tiers is based on what my average shop customer buys in a month. I have guys that buy $5. I have guys that buy $1,000 a month. Guys that go on trips with me all the time, the people that spend $1,000 are typically spending it on trips. And so I have that tier set up that you get a private trip with me. And I have another trip where you get a private day with me. And then I have other ones where you get consultation time with me. Those are exactly the same as if you walked into the dive shop. Now, if you don't want to go into the Patreon, you just want to walk into my dive shop, that's even better. Okay, let me be your local dive center. Let me be your long distance dive shop. Let me help you out. We do a lot of stuff by mail now. Especially after COVID, we do a lot of stuff by mail. So I do all repairs. I get box of Poseidon every once in a while. I get box of rebreather. I'm now, because of what happened with COVID, has happened with my time off last year, is I'm now a factory level service tech for the Prism 2 rebreather. And so that's stuff that gets shipped to me all the time. So I'm really, really busy doing stuff that I really like to do. And this is one of those things that I really like to do. And I'm getting a staff. We just hired another girl last week. So I've got a couple people that are signed up for IDC. I'll have a whole big instructional staff. It's my hope for the summer. My kids are going to become instructors sometime after June, I hope. At least dive masters. And they wanted it. We'll chat about that as the time comes. We'll be proud dad moments, and it might be frustrating as hell for me. So, Before I get, remember that I'm learning this as I go. If you have suggestions about how I can make this better, please send me a PM. If it's harsh, send me a PM. Don't put it in the comments for permanency. But if you want to tell me stuff, I mean, that's great. If you want to chat, I'm still available for chat. We haven't got too big for that. We've got that in Instagram and Messenger. Follow us on Messenger. Follow us on Instagram. Divers Sync only has about 70 people right now, but it is something I'm posting. I'm really enjoying finding these little snippets and turning them into reels and turning them into into TikToks and being able to turn them into things that are just, I think, worthwhile, because it's better than being lost in the shuffle. They've been sitting on a drive for decades, and some of the stuff that I'm going back is really good, but it's short, so it wasn't going to make a good full episode. Or if I made a full episode, I put it in a different format, and now I got to figure all that out. So whatever it comes down to, I want to make this better for you. And so this is my second podcast of the Phoenix Rising Divers Sync 2.0. If you want to listen to old stuff, diversinc.com. We have all of the episodes still there. The YouTube episodes get video and all that. Those are the ones we're going to use now. There will be audio as well. And those are coming. But so if you're listening to this on audio, you know, I got it fixed. And if you want to come to YouTube and actually see the videos and the stills and the things that I shared with you here, I'd love to have that with you. Subscribe if you go to YouTube, because that's great. So until next time, I've got a lot more that I know I didn't cover. So if you want to go, the one that I'm doing as a mistake is going to be available on Patreon as one of the bonus features. And so if you want to listen to it again, it might be worth the buck to get that episode that's going to be available there. So I am excited about where this podcast is going. I'm excited about where the Instagram is going. I'm excited about where my future is going. And so until next time, we'll see ya.
Divers Sync is a cooperation between Divers Incorporated and Divers Media Group. You can download archived past editions worldwide over the internet at diversync.com. If you wish to support Divers Sync financially, you can find us on Patreon for bonus content, announcements of live performances, product giveaways, and other opportunities to be part of the program. Help us promote our netcast by telling your friends and dive buddies to subscribe to Divers Sync on YouTube and Spotify. The opinions that you hear on Divers Sync are not necessarily those of any station, website, network, or advertiser. These netcasts are not intended to substitute for professional diver training. Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be attempted without the proper instructions, supervision, and training. Have any questions or comments? We'd love to hear from you. We are on Facebook and Instagram for messages, or you can email us via our website at diversync.com.